The Portiuncula was a small chapel in the Spoleto Valley. Indeed, it had become abandoned and fell into disrepair, but it would become a central place in the life of St. Francis of Assisi, and one by which we can only understand his life and his dedication to the Virgin Mother of God. Indeed, in the history of our nation, it has become a very important event also, for under the influence of secularism, one of the great cities of this nation is presently called Los Angeles, but its original title was Our Lady of the Angels. That is, it was named after this little chapel in which St. Francis would receive many graces, most especially the grace to be completely consecrated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so, it is a mystery we celebrate. The Portiuncula's origins are essentially unknown. There are some who will maintain that it was built by angels themselves, but we do know that after it was abandoned, angels were said to constantly dwell there. Indeed, St. Francis himself would have one of the extraordinary charismatic gifts of hearing the angelic choirs sing there, and that must have brought untold consolation to this true soldier of Jesus Christ. And so he would honor the Mother of God in many ways there, but most especially he would bring attention to Our Lady, Queen of the Angels and hence Queen of the Universe, for it is under this title that St. Francis saw the Mother of God as she who truly reigns as Mother over the whole created order. And so he would begin his religious life there, rebuilding churches in order to restore the edifice of the church. And there he would be drawn to higher and greater ideals, constantly seeking the salvation of souls because he was completely consecrated to the Mother of God. For especially in our institute, which promotes total consecration to the Mother of God, some would maintain that it was made up out of whole cloth, that we do not see it in the life of St. Francis, but that is only because there is no explicit reference to it by St. Francis. But when we discern the lives of the saints and how it was they pursued the path of holiness, we must not look for explicit references to this doctrine or that doctrine, but we must look at the whole of their life. And indeed, at the end of St. Francis's life, it was said that it was not so much that he prayed, but that he had become a prayer. And this was because of his complete total dedication to the Mother of God. Of this mystery and of this place, St. Bonaventure will tell us, the Portiuncula was an old church dedicated to the Virgin Mother of God, which was abandoned. Francis had great devotion to the Queen of the World, and when he saw the church was deserted, he began to live there constantly in order to repair it. And indeed, we too, when we see the world abandoned, must live constantly within the heart of the Virgin Mary, so that we, like St. Francis, can begin to enkindle the fire of divine love again in the hearts of men. He continues, he heard the angels often visited it, so that it was called St. Mary of the Angels, and he decided to stay there permanently out of reverence for the angels and love of the Mother of Christ. He loved this spot more than any other in the world. It was here he began his religious life in a very small way. It is here he came to a happy end. When he was dying, he commended this spot above all to the friars because it was most dear to the Blessed Virgin. Indeed, of all the things in this world, it was the one thing that St. Francis would command his brothers never to give up possession of. Indeed, he would say, if they throw you out the front door, come in the back door and take possession of it again. And by this, he was really referring to taking possession of the Blessed Virgin Mary as our Queen and Mother in our lives, and most especially in our journey of faith. St. Bonaventure continues to tell us, this was the place where St. Francis founded his order by divine inspiration, and it was divine providence which led him to repair three churches before he founded the order and began to preach the gospel. For when the church falls into disrepair, God often raises up great saints who again show men the way back to sanctity, back to holiness, back to the love of God. And so each and every church that St. Francis would spend time repairing would be significant in the life of the church and indeed in the future. For St. Bonaventure tells us, this meant that he progressed from material things to more spiritual achievements, from lesser to greater in due order, and it gave prophetic indication of what he would accomplish later. And indeed, St. Francis continues to accomplish this great work of building up again the edifice of Holy Mother Church, having the church again accepted as the only safe haven in this world and that which is to inform all human endeavor and sanctify all human institutions. And so it would be entrusted to his brothers, and as Chesterton points out, St. Francis was truly a democratic man because he believed in the vote of the dead, that is, in the vote of tradition. He believed that the angels and the saints had more to tell the world and society than any man who was presently dwelling there, working out his salvation in fear and trembling. And so this prophetic mission of St. Francis will continue until the end of time, for it was here that he received the grace to found the Franciscan order, an order that would be completely dedicated and indeed would be the possession and the property of the Immaculate Virgin Mary. St. Bonaventure tells us, as he was living there by the Church of Our Lady, Francis prayed to her who had conceived the word, full of grace and truth, begging her insistently and with tears, and became his advocate. Then he was granted the true spirit of the gospel by the intercession of the Mother of Mercy, and he brought it to fruition. He embraced the Mother of our Lord Jesus with indescribable love, because, as he said, it was she who made the Lord of Majesty our brother, and through her we found mercy. After Christ, he put all his trust in her and took her as his patroness for himself and his friars. And there we have, in the words of St. Bonaventure, the basis of total consecration to the Immaculate Virgin Mother of God. St. Francis was truly prophetic and truly a man ahead of his times, and it was the foundations that would be laid in his heart by the Mother of God that would be the basis of this final and great gift to Holy Mother Church, in which souls dedicating themselves to Our Lady, Queen of the Angels, consecrating themselves totally to her who is mistress of the universe, that the church again will be built up and become that vanguard of holiness, that bringer of mercy. Indeed, St. Francis in his time would request what one Holy Father would call the pardon of Assisi. For as he said in a homily, today is the feast of the pardon of Assisi, which St. Francis obtained from Pope Honorius III in the year 1216. After having a vision while he was praying in the little church of the Porciuncula, Jesus appeared to him in his glory with the Virgin Mary on his right and surrounded by many angels, then asked him to express a wish, and Francis implored a full and generous pardon for all those who would visit the church, who repented and confessed their sins. Having received papal approval, the saint did not wait for any written document, but hastened to Assisi, and when he reached the Porciuncula, announced the good news. Friends, the Lord wants to have us all in heaven. Since then, from noon on the 1st of August to midnight of the 2nd, it has been possible to obtain, on the usual conditions, a plenary indulgence also for the dead on visiting a parish church or a Franciscan one. And this is a fulfillment of what St. Francis would originally request. For Pope Honorius would mitigate the original request and restrict it merely to visitations to the Porciuncula. There it would be extended to any Franciscan friary church, and hence now in these times it is extended to all churches throughout Catholic Christendom. And so it is a great gift, and it is a gift based on the merciful intercession of the Mother of God. And so today, each member of the mystical body has the opportunity to gain this pardon of Assisi if they fulfill all that is required for the gaining of indulgence, that is, to make sacramental confessions so that we to be in God's grace during the 8 days before or after the indulgence day, participation in the Holy Mass and Eucharist, to visit a Catholic church, followed by a profession of faith in order to reaffirm one's own Christian identity, say the Our Father in order to reaffirm the dignity as child of God that one received in baptism, and a prayer for the Pope's intention in order to reaffirm one's membership in the Church, of which the Roman Pontiff is the foundation and sign of visible unity. And so it expresses St. Francis's desire to see all of Christendom united when the very foundations that would render her asunder were being laid in the Renaissance, which would ultimately culminate in what is known as the Reformation, but was truly a revolt against the divine order. And so St. Francis, before this revolt occurred in earnest, was given the grace to see the solution, that is, the Mother of God, who is always the principle of unity because she is the Mother of the Incarnate Word, and so she can bring together all those separated. And so let us this day pray first for our separated brethren and then for all those who have not come to know Christ through the saving powers of baptism. And let us most especially pray for us that as practicing members of the mystical body of Christ, we may truly dedicate ourselves entirely to the Mother of God, entrusting to her all our cares, all our faults, and all our failings, begging from her, as the Poverello of Assisi would beg from her, all the graces necessary to persevere in Holy Mother Church, so that at the end of our lives it may be said of us what was said of St. Francis, that it was not so much that we prayed, but that our whole lives had become a prayer, that is, we had become completely transubstantiated into the Immaculate Virgin Mother of God, and hence we were instruments in her hands as St. Francis and all the saints for the upbuilding first of the mystical body of Christ, so that having her upbuilt, she becomes, as it were, the vanguard of mercy to the whole world. And so let us pray first and foremost that the members of the mystical body show their dedication to Holy Mother Church by their dedication and love of the Vicar of Christ, so that strengthened by the profession of St. Peter, that is, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, we may go forth under the mantle of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, as St. Francis did, bringing his mercy and her maternity to all souls throughout the whole world, so that all may come to know that great mystery, that was once a part and parcel of our own nation, but under the influence of secularism, that has diminished. Indeed, it is completely because of secularism that Los Angeles is presently called Los Angeles, not Our Lady, Queen of the Angels. And so let us pray that under her maternal mediation and through the intercession of the saints, that we may come again to not be ashamed to profess our faith in Christ, because he and he alone can bring us the salvation we seek, and we can only truly possess him if we are truly possessions of the Immaculate Virgin Mary. And then, like St. Francis, after spending our lives for their sake here on earth, we will gain possession of them for all eternity in heaven.
Christus.